This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
That's right. We're back once again to the Almost Famous Podcast. Ashley and I have spoken all week about a plethora of topics, mostly relating around other people's dating lives. We've talked about Listen to Your Heart. And Ashley and I are here again, another week of self-isolation, both remote, so please give us a little grace there in our own homes to talk about everything going on in Bachelor Nation and also just to share with you some common feelings and emotions that everybody's experiencing during isolation. What's up, Ash?
Hey, not much. Sitting here talking to you, Ben.
It's a wild time.
Do you know that I've always been the most awkward responding to the question, what's up? Is anybody really good at responding to that question? Because every time I'm like, you know, just here talking to you.
Yeah. Okay, so here, let me try this then. Because okay. I was encouraged this week. Mm-hmm. Because I have felt a little disconnected from people. That's my own personal thing. And somebody encouraged me to stop asking the question, hey, how are you doing or what's up? And I was like, well, what's the alternative? Like, and they said, start asking a question that enters into their life. And so, for example, if you walk up to a clerk at the grocery store, instead of saying, hey, how you doing? Say, hey, tell me why you walked through these doors and applied for this job. And like,
that's intimidating.
Is it? So I'm going to ask you this, Ashley. We're going to start at the beginning again. And I'm going to say this, Ashley. Why did you say yes to being a co-host of mine? And also, I guess we decided at the same time. So why did you say yes to doing the Almost Famous Podcast 3 years ago?
Well, executive producer Amy Sugarman was a friend of mine for like at least a year and a half leading up to her asking me that question. And what was really crazy is that she started really mulling the idea over when she invited me to lunch with David Spade at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Holy
it was
cow.
The three of us. And I was like, yeah, I think this lady would be great to work with. And Ben is just like the master smooth man of the franchise. He's like probably the most respected character there is. So, of course, I'd love to do anything with him.
It's wild, Ash. I mean, how long? I think we're going on our, third year anniversary?
It's third. Yeah. So we've completed 3 years as of May.
We got to get a count. Producer Tori is on the line right now. Tori, as we're on the podcast, can you get a rough estimate of how many listens we've had in the 3 years, like in total, if you combine them all? I would just love to celebrate this with the Almost Famous family. It feels like a good time to be celebrating.
Didn't we have 6 or 7 million when we celebrated the second anniversary? So I would tack like maybe 3 or 4 million more onto that. That's pretty insane.
Maybe, yeah, that'd be insane. But I bet Tori will come back to us with a few like numbers. I want to see if we're shocked or not, because obviously due to isolation, like our numbers are up. You know what's not up though, Ashley, and I think you and I both need it right now, especially me. I want to hear reviews and see reviews on iTunes. So if you can, and you're listening, and you enjoy the podcast, you know what? We're all in a weird place right now, I think. And we're all, I mean, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I just think I'm feeling really disconnected and kind of like somewhat more emotional than ever. I think Ashley and I would really enjoy and appreciate if you love the podcast, or if you hate it, I guess, go on and review and comment on the podcast on iTunes, wherever you listen to it. It would mean a lot to me, at least. And Ashley, I don't know if it'd mean a lot to you.
Oh, yeah. I love to find out what the fans are thinking. And I'm thinking, what if we did something where we did like a live podcast on Zoom and then people could watch and then we could connect to them on a live feed throughout it? Wouldn't that be interesting? So that way we can get questions from them live based on whatever we were talking about in the moment.
That would be really awesome, Ash. That's a great idea.
Thanks.
Let's do it. So if that's a good idea, how about you comment on the podcast on iTunes, rate us. We would appreciate it. But then also, yeah, we'd love to Zoom with you. We just did that the other night with Cameo. You and I were on the same team.
That's what I was going to say. So if we did it with Cameo and they figured it out, or we could get like, I think they said they had over 1,000 viewers in that, we should be able to do it for the podcast. That'd be really awesome.
I think it'd be so fun to be live, just chatting, talking. I mean, I'm going to have a mustache, Ashley. I don't know what you're doing. I do have one right now. But yeah, so that's some big news in Bachelor Nation. Ashley and I participated in a Cameo trivia night. Ashley, Jared, and I took on Jason, John Paul Jones, Peter Weber, Kelly,
and Dustin.
And Dustin. And Ashley, Jared, and I just smacked them. I mean, yeah. Just destroyed them.
If you're wondering why their team had so many more players, it's because we just didn't need any more support.
No.
We spanked them.
We did. It was ugly. But hey, it was a lot of fun. Ashley, let's take a break here. We have a big show coming up. We have Jamie from Listen to Your Heart. We also have Kendall coming on to talk about her most recent updates in life. I think listeners are going to be really excited to hear if she's dating again.
Yeah. You know, the last time I heard, she said that her sister was her soulmate, and she felt like anyone that her future will always revolve around her sister first and foremost.
I don't get it.
Yeah, you're an only child, so you don't get it. But like, when my sister's gone, I miss her a lot, and when I'm talking to Lauren, it's different than when I'm talking to Jared. Lauren gets me without me having to explain myself or my feelings very much. It's just something that, like, this really weird sibling connection that you have. Now, Jared understands me, but I have to explain myself more than I am with Lauren.
Wow. I've never thought about this. Initially, I'll be honest, when you just said that comment, I was like, oh, that's a little weird, right? And then I can't relate, so I can't comment. And you're saying you get it.
You know what? I have to think. I think I feel the same way. I feel like my sister is my soulmate, and Jared's like my partner.
So interesting.
Well, I don't even think that he'd be annoyed by me saying that.
He would probably get it, huh?
I think he gets that.
So interesting. I've never thought about it, but obviously I could never think about it. It's not something I've ever felt.
Yeah, that's sad. I mean, well, that's a whole other thing we'll talk about when we do an in-depth Ben Higgins podcast.
Oh, there's a lot down here, Ashley. I don't know. I'll say it because I always want to do this, but I'm back in therapy. I've been in therapy for the last like 2 months, and it's been a really healthy thing for me. But I've never shied away from the fact that I've gone to therapy in my life to talk through stuff.
Yeah, I think that's very important to be open about, because therefore it encourages other people to go to therapy, because they're like, oh man, I'm not alone. Even Ben is open about going to therapy.
Yeah. And then maybe, I mean, that's why I said it, is because like, I feel more prepared than ever to do an in-depth at some point, because everything's out there at this point. I'm about as open as can be. Hey, Ash, we do have to get to Bachelor Trending Topics. So let's take a break. We'll come back and catch everybody up on what's going on in Bachelor Nation. So we're back with Bachelor Trending Topics. Ashley, I'm just going to say the headline. Do you feel comfortable explaining?
Of course.
Okay, here we go. Fans found evidence Chris Soules and Victoria Fuller are staying together based on couch pillows?
You were going to say couch potatoes.
Yeah, I was. What a headline.
So this is really interesting. She was doing a Instagram Live with a couple of the girls from her season, and people saw the couch and the pillows looked exactly like the couch and the pillows looked in a recent Instagram post from Chris Soules, in which he said, ooh, feels so good to be home. And then so that was like Sleuther's first clue. But then Reality Steve came out and said that they were like officially, like, there was like confirmation somehow that they were together. So speculation is that one of the girls that was on the phone call with Victoria tipped off Reality Steve to like really nail the head in the coffin there.
That is one of the wildest things I've ever heard. Like, how crazy that couch pillows. Now, hey, kudos to you. I'm not calling you crazy. But crazy good investigation. Like, that is Ashley Iaconetti style investigation.
Oh, that is like don't fuck with cats style investigation. Did you watch that?
I haven't. I am a little scared to watch it.
No, it's so good. You have to watch that. But that's the kind of thing. They like took one piece of furniture in the room and they would figure out what country that furniture was made in and where it's sold. Gosh. And they figured out so much just based on furniture in a room. So props to you bachelor sleuthers out there for the tea this week.
That is so crazy. Good for them. Well, that is the headline. The next headline that we're reading is Bachelor in Paradise Jenna Cooper feels vindicated after being cleared in Jordan Kimball scandal.
Yeah, so remember last week or last year when the whole Jenna has a sugar daddy controversy came out, and then quickly after that came out and there was a whole bunch of screenshots that were again posted on Reality Steve's site, Jordan dumped her. And it was just so splashy because I'm pretty sure that those screenshots were revealed the same day as like their engagement aired or something like that, or that they had a live show to tape together. So basically all of Bachelor Nation felt that Jenna was this cheater, a girl who was reliant on a sugar daddy, you know, just not loyal to Jordan. And then we joked kind of on this podcast about the fact that she had hired lawyers and forensic investigators to go through her computer and her phone. And well, the results came back and the investigators, I guess, have gone through like all like the backlog, whatever evidence you can get through, like if a text message was actually sent versus like whether a screenshot was manipulated to make it look like texts were sent. And she's an innocent woman. So they found that no texts were exchanged between Jenna and anyone sketchy.
What does this mean for Jordan Kimball then?
Well, Jenna says in her interview with Reality Steve, in which he apologizes for basically ruining her life, that she thinks that Jordan possibly could have been in on creating the controversy because he said something along the lines of, publicly, I can't defend you, but privately, I could be a little bit more on your side.
What do you think?
Do you think that he manipulated? I'm starting to think that possibly he was in on it all.
Well, now I'm just so confused.
Good publicity.
Well, yeah, I remember back in the day, you and I both kind of jumped to, oh, this is for publicity. I mean, maybe I did. I'm going to say I jumped to this is for publicity. That was my response. Because it's not unheard of in the Bachelor world to be in the public for a headline. Like, that isn't uncommon. So yeah. It wouldn't have been an outrageous thought. And now I'm going, this gets really confusing. So if Jenna is completely clear, and just completely, you know, above reproach here, then somebody is to blame, right? I mean, there has to be somebody that manipulated the text, and there's somebody that led us to a false narrative. And I mean, I don't know if it's Jordan or whoever it would be, but this is the part that is sad is like, this is a big deal for Jenna. It's a year of her life now that she spent trying to prove herself innocent. And it's had to have, like, drained on her. She has to be tired.
Oh, yeah. She feels really liberated right now that the truth is out there. And, you know, maybe it all happens for a reason because now she's been with a boyfriend for the past year and a half and she's pregnant with her first child. But it does make you think who would be out to get her so much that they would create these public rumors. And it would lead to the demise of a engagement.
I have zero idea. And I wonder if she has any clues. I wonder if we can get her on the podcast at some point.
Yeah, we definitely have to.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'd like to find out because if not, we're just speculating. But hey, good for Jenna. And I'm glad the truth is out there. We've said it before. The truth is the truth is the truth. So next headline is Caitlin Bristow sends love to ex-fiance Sean Booth after his dog Tucker dies. Important caveat here is that my buddy, your friend, a Bachelor Nation favorite, Sean Booth, did lose his dog Tucker, who I spent many a nights talking about during our time on The Bachelorette. Ashley, tell us about this.
There's not much to say other than the fact that we're all very sad about Tucker Doodle dying. I had quite a sob fest. I felt like I knew that dog, you know, through Instagram. I never met him. Had you ever met him?
I have never met Tucker, but I'm not kidding, Ashley. During The Bachelorette, Sean and I would share a room, and he would lay in his bed, and he would tell me about Tucker. And one of the first texts I sent him after I found out him and Caitlin were engaged and I congratulated him was, how happy was Tucker? I remember this when he saw you again. Like, Sean talked to like about Tucker like it was his brother, his friend, like a human mm-hmm. being.
Yeah, I know. And then I remember, you know, when Caitlin and Sean were good, her talking about Tucker and her just being so enamored with the dog's soul. And she said, you know, I think this is like when the dog was 8, passed away at 11. And she was like, I know he's 8 and I know he has a couple good years in him, but like I still will start to cry today just thinking about that dog passing away.
He was a special creation. And it's sad, Ashley. That hit actually my mom, who is not up on a lot of the Bachelor news all the time. She came downstairs and said, "Hey, Ben, Sean Boost's dog has passed."
Yeah, and like my sister told me the same way.
She was crushed. Like it feels like Sean not only did a great job highlighting that dog, but that dog just was an incredible character and always was bringing entertainment to Sean's life. So our thoughts are with Sean, especially during this time. And hey, Tucker, you're awesome.
I was gonna say, you had a dog when you were younger mm-hmm. and you haven't been able to have a dog ever since because your connection with that dog. And my Lucy passed away 4 years ago. And I think everybody has like that one dog in their life. Like you love all your dogs, but I think there's like, you know, there's one that will just always be like your best friend. And it was a week ago that it was the 4 year anniversary of Lucy. And I just like cried all day long. It's just so crazy. So, you know, I know exactly what he's going through right now, but I want to talk about your dog just because like you don't really even bring up dogs very much because you say that you were so scarred by the passing of that dog.
Yeah. I mean, Zoe, she's a black lab. Like it's true. It's weird. I think as my grandma, maybe got me this gift where it's a black lab and it has Zoe's collar on the black lab, mm-hmm. like stuffed doll, which is a little weird, I think, but like, if we can forget that it's weird, I found it in my closet about a year ago in my parents' house, and I started crying again. Like, I don't know what it is, and maybe only children could write in and like tell me if I'm crazy or not, but maybe it's just an everybody thing. But because I was an only child and because Zoe came into my life, she was like a sibling to me. And mm-hmm. when I lost her, I cannot imagine losing I don't know how I could sign myself up for like every 10 to 15 years losing something I love so much. Like, I don't know if I can put myself through that again.
Isn't it crazy when looking at all the Tucker coverage? Because, man, if Tucker only knew how famous he was going to be this week, you know? I was thinking about just, you know, dogs and how it's just so unfair that they live for, you know, 15 years. At the max, you know, that's, you know, the average max age pretty much. And it's just unfair. It's like, wouldn't it be amazing if they lived a human lifespan?
I think we'd all love that, Ash. I think a lot of people would. Hey, Tucker, you're awesome. Sean, our thoughts are with you. Caitlin, great job reaching out to Sean during this time. Next headline is Tyler Cameron just unfollowed Jed Wyatt following their Twitter beef.
So basically, I wouldn't call it a huge Twitter beef. I think that is a headline trying to get some clicks. But Tyler Cameron did tweet a lot last week during Listen to Your Heart. And I'll go through the tweets real quick. First, he said, they should give Jed a producer credit because he's definitely the creative idea for this show. I could agree there a little bit. Another one is we've seen how this whole look turns out already. He's referring to, you know, Trevor seeming like a cheater with like a girlfriend that he screwed over at home. And then he said, Jamie obviously didn't watch The Bachelorette and doesn't understand what comes with that jacket because in the shot, Trevor is wearing a jacket that we have seen on Jed before, or at least a jacket very similar to it. So, you know, he's busting his chops for sure. he obviously isn't a close friend of Jed's. And then Jed responds, which is where they allude to the beef, with that Zach Galifianakis in the middle of the woods turning around slowly and nodding gif. So it's kind of like, yes, I see you. It's like, I get it. Thanks. Yeah,
thanks. First off, how does Tyler remember the jacket that Jed was wearing?
Well, I mean, he was on his season with him, and he did wear a jacket like this a lot. Come on, you don't think about Nick and his jean jacket? Nick always wore his jean jacket.
Oh, that's a good point. I do. Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, you're right. Now you're right. So it's not like a beef as much as just like a, hey, they're not friends, or like it doesn't seem like they're going to be hanging out anytime soon.
Yeah, and then Tyler unfollowed him on Instagram, and then Jed went and did the same. It's like, well, okay.
Seems like a healthy breakup. Yeah. Feels good. Final headline of the week is Hannah Brown says she's – or actually, no, sorry.
Oh, there's two more. There's two more. And they're both about Hannah. Yeah,
okay. So Bachelor fans are legit Venmoing Tyler Cameron money to buy Hannah Brown an engagement ring. Where were you at about a month ago, Bachelor Nation? Come on now. I could have used that.
Yeah. You guys, stop Venmoing Tyler, okay? I think he is set if you really wanted to buy Hannah an engagement ring. It's really funny. There's a screenshot of all of the Venmos coming his way. One says, my generous contribution to Hannah Brown's engagement ring. I hope it's not too much. Get her something nice. Now, I don't see how much this girl sent over, but I'm a little bit alarmed. Somebody said, thank you for entertaining us during quarantine. Another says, a little something to add to the ring fund to get her something sparkly. And another one says, I know engagement rings are expensive, so I thought I'd help you out for Miss Hannah Brown.
Ashley, do you know where this is coming from? Like, did he put it on Instagram or something? Like, hey, you can Venmo me money? Or, like, did this just come out of nowhere?
No, this is coming out of nowhere. Now, I wonder if, like, a whole bunch of fans got together on a message board and said, like, wouldn't it be funny if we started doing this? Because it would be bizarre if so many people independently came up with this idea.
So wild. Well, good for Tyler. I guess he's got a little extra cash because he's not buying an engagement ring anytime soon because Hannah Brown says she's single after a month-long quarantine with Tyler Cameron.
Well, and there's not much more to that article. She says that she would be thinking a couple of years ago that at the age of 25, she'd be married and planning to have kids right now, but that's not where she wants to be in life, and that she's single, so there's nobody who could make that child with her anyway.
Okay, well, there we go. Hannah Brown's single. Tyler Cameron's getting, I guess now at this point, free money to his Venmo. And
I mean, I'm sure he's not collecting the money. He's probably sending it right back. And if not, you know, Tyler, it's a great chunk of money to just donate to anybody in need right now.
That's right.
All right, guys, let's do a quick recap of this Listen to Your Heart episode. Starts out with 8 men and 8 women. So, of course, people need to walk in to mix things up. Chris Harrison walks in at the top of the show with a date card. And this goes to Jamie. Man, this girl is getting so much airtime. It says, grab your guitar, grab your guy, and go make some music. So, of course, she's bringing Trevor. As you guys know, if you listened to the episode last week, I strongly think she's making a mistake choosing Trevor over Ryan, but whatever is her prerogative. So Trevor and Jamie are walking to the Venice Boardwalk where they're going to be, you know, street performers. They choose to sing Girl Crush, which is a great song. She's nervous. Trevor's just so smooth. He lets her pick the songs, trying to get her comfortable. And they kind of crush it out when they're singing. But I still think that he has like the most mediocre voice ever. She sounds great. But he sounds like your average guy singing in a bar. You agree with me, Ben?
Well, then how? Like, okay, yes. But
I... You agree? You're not just saying that?
I agree with you. But okay. Here's the thing. I am the worst at judging musical talent. I watch these voices and the American Idols, and I watch them and I listen to Your Heart, and I go, oh, that person's a great singer, and then they always get kicked off the show. Or hey, that person's a bad singer, and he or she wins the like contest. I don't know who's good and who's bad anymore because I'm so bad. Ashley, how does he get such praise from American Idol if he's not a good singer?
I guess I don't remember. I mean, should we see how far he got on American Idol? I think we should.
Yeah, let's look it up.
Okay. Trevor, no, American Idol.
Yeah.
Listen to Your Heart. He made it to the top 25 of American Idol, which seems about right. Yeah.
Okay.
Because with American Idol, they're going to take into certain things in consideration, his personality, charm, and then his appearance, like that sex appeal that he's got going on. That's definitely top 24 worthy. But then, at once the live shows start and it's up to the American vote, oftentimes guys like that, you're like, oh, they're a dime a dozen, flash in the pan type thing. So that's when you start weeding them out. So I think that makes sense.
Fair
with
enough.
Him being here on Listen to Your Heart and providing more of like the sex symbol character.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not all we know about Trevor, though. There's like these Bachelor-esque storylines going on behind the scenes of each one of these dates.
There's a lot of what behind the scenes?
Like Bachelor-esque storylines. Like all of a sudden we have a Trevor and Jamie on a date. They're singing. And now we find out that Trevor.
Oh, totally.
You know, has an ex back home that he supposedly did not treat well. And now we have this storyline. For the first time during the season, we're starting to see that drama will actually happen on this show.
Right. I don't think it'll ever get as dramatic as The Bachelor. I think it's going to be like Bachelor Winter Games, where it was more relationship focused. But I do think that with the Tasha coming in, a 33-year-old from the East Coast, who we're going to have later on in the show, who's looking for something serious, a husband or a baby daddy, we do see kind of like a drama bomb dropped, right? That girl shows up and she's not somebody who could be overlooked. She is very commanding. And just her appearance sort of says drama's here. And I'm not being judgy when I say that. That's just how she carries herself.
Yeah, I mean, I think right when she walked in, I think the whole house went, oh, like, this is either our best friend or, like, our, like, I think the guys are like, I think we got to ask her. We'll have her on here late in the podcast. But, like, what was the take from the guys when she walked in or the people? Like, were they taken back? I think they were.
I feel like the guys were like, whoa, powerhouse. Then somebody super womanly, right? And then the girls, I think, felt a little intimidated. She did become friendly with the girls, though, quickly when she started to say that, you know, Trevor has, she's friends with Trevor's ex, he didn't treat her right, and that she was standing up for Jamie. She definitely seemed like a girl who's looking out for the other girls. So I don't even think she was like, she wasn't trying to get with anyone's man. She's just kind of like a good girl's girl.
I've been interested how quickly the contestants on this show have kind of been interested in bringing up the drama. Like, they're actually, for being the first week of a show, whatever it is, like, they're all pretty engaged in each other's storylines and engaged in, like, discussing some really hard topics, like somebody cheating, who's loving who, who's into who, and I'm into that person, too. Like, drama has happened very quickly.
Oh, 100%. They're very open with each other, and I'm thinking that maybe that's because there's a group of guys and girls together where we're used to that. In Paradise, after we've already been kind of jaded to the process, the experience, and so we kind of know to look out for drama, but these people are very trusting of one another. Like, they're like, hey, I'm into him. It's like, oh, I'm into him too. Whereas in Paradise, I remember being asked, who are you into? And I was like, I'm not telling anyone, because then people are going to go after him, and then, like, I have to worry about other girls.
Good point.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, back to Jamie and Trevor's date. They're on the Venice boardwalk, and then they go into jacuzzi where Trevor opens up about his ex-girlfriend and why it didn't work out. He never mentions that he emotionally cheated on her after 2.5 years, which is what's being talked about back at the house with Natasha. And we'll get more of that storyline later.
So Ashley, I want to pause you there. Should he have brought it up? So I don't think it's right what he did. But I'm wondering, if you're on a first date with somebody, is it expected within that first date that you tell them, hey, in the past, I've made a mistake?
Yeah, probably not. It's a great question, because I feel like on reality TV, you're totally villainized if you're not super honest up front. But you're right, that's not normal date conversation. And it doesn't necessarily mean that he wouldn't have come out with it eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem lies in, we'll see it later on, we'll talk about it, but when Natasha confronts him, he starts to, you know, stutter and not have the clear words, and he doesn't own up to it. But yeah, on a first date, like, I'm not sharing that much about my, like, dating life. I'm just trying to get to know the person.
Yeah, great, great point. So the next date we see is between Bree and Chris. And now I really feel like Bree and Chris have a strong relationship. They're really falling in love with each other, and I'm buying it. However, felt this date was a little bit awkward. They went to the Guitar Center on Sunset, which is a pretty big deal for musicians. And she talks about her past relationship, how it was an engagement that ended a year ago. And it was so sad to hear how this guy broke up with her. She calls him and says, "I found my wedding dress," while shopping for a wedding dress with her mom. Like, "I found the one." And he says, "Don't buy the dress." It was heart-wrenching.
Yeah. It just hurts. Like, I am in a position right now that can relate. That would hurt, right, Ash? Like, that would be the worst possible timing.
Oh, the worst. So she confides in Chris about all that. And then she talks about how she feels like she has difficulty expressing her emotions when she's not doing it in song. So they kind of like sing to each other, sing speak about how they're feeling about each other. And I think that was a little cringy. I know producer Tori has some thoughts about this. Tori, you want to jump in and tell us?
Mm-hmm.
For Chris and Bree, man,
yeah,
can we just talk about their riff that they created, their own song, where it was like
saying
they
sing
were like
speak,
"Then you give me the rose," and he was like, "I say yes, 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 yes," and it was all over the place. It was so awkward. And then like two seconds after, she goes, "I'm falling in love with you."
Okay, so I bought that they were falling in love with each other. I think that's totally fine. I just felt like the sing-songy back and forth trying to express what they've been through together so far in song lyrics, like rifting, was just awky.
I think it was all a little bit too much for me on my end, because I was like, ooh, if we're trying to figure out if musical connection is important, I don't feel that connection from them. But then now they're saying they're falling in love with each other.
So here's a scenario for later on in the season. What if they have amazing chemistry romantically, but they don't have any musical chemistry? How does that work?
I completely agree.
Progressing.
I completely agree. I don't understand how it's supposed to work. Because
it hasn't
I don't
been
know
explained yet.
Yeah, like I don't know if I'm supposed to be okay with them not singing well together and just being like, "That's cute and endearing." Or if that's because all these people are saying, "I've never had anybody write a song about me, and I've never had somebody sing a song with me and feel that connection." So I'm like, am I supposed to feel a connection every time you guys sing? Or is it okay that I don't and you guys are in love with each other? I don't know. I just don't know where my heart is right now on that.
Yeah.
Can I be honest?
I agree. Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I told Ryan this last week. Anytime. I mean, there's been one moment other than, okay, let's actually take that moment out. I really felt something when Lady Gaga and
Bradley Cooper,
Bradley performed. Cooper yes. performed together. Like I felt something deep in my heart there. Like,
as did we
everybody.
All.
But there's very few. Let me preface it with this: very few moments in my life where two people have sat down across from each other and they've sang a song to each other, and I felt anything in that moment other than like, oh, this feels like I shouldn't be watching. This feels super awkward, and I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't have any musical talent, but I could never do that myself.
Yeah, I have to say, like, there's a vulnerability to singing to each other that may go beyond anything that Ben and I could comprehend.
Oh, I don't get it.
All right, let's move on to date number 3. Sheridan, who I think is just the sweetest, chooses to go public with Julia. They go to the iHeartRadio station. They go to our station. They're on Valentine in the Morning, and they perform Bones by Maren Morris. Now, I liked this performance because I think it just showed off Julia's talent. Like, wow, she has an amazing voice. Sheridan, I don't think it expressed how good he could be because it seemed like he didn't know the lyrics to the song and he kept looking down at a piece of paper so he couldn't quite belt it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a nice dude. He cares about her a lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, first off, really cool to see iHeart represented. Yeah. There you go, iHeart.
That was the little studio that we had my Crate and Barrel wondered. Bachelor. Yeah.
I wondered. Yeah, because I remember because he said, like, so many iconic artists have been on the stage. And I was like, well, of course, Ashley Iaconetti's been there.
Stop.
But he seems like a nice dude. I mean, again, Ashley, I'm enjoying some of the show. Like, I'm enjoying these storylines. I don't connect in these musical parts. Like, I think it's a lot to do with me and me not having any musical talent, but it doesn't, like, pull at my heart as much as, like, a conversation about life does. And I could be crazy there, but I'm not connecting. Like, even when they're singing, I'm like, oh, that's good. Like, she's really good and he doesn't know the words. Great. Like, I want to hear him talk.
Interesting. I enjoy the musical numbers.
That's fair. I mean, maybe this is just me. I just don't. I think a lot of it is to do. I cannot relate at all with any musical talent.
Okay. All right. Let's get it. Well, I understand. I understand. Back at home, Matt and Rudy. Very funny dynamic between these two. Last week she chewed him out. This week she comes to him, apologizes for freaking out, that she feels bad about how she handled the last rose ceremony cocktail party, and then they end up making out again. And she is so freaking funny. She is so unfiltered. She does not care what people think about her. And she's all over the place emotionally, but I kind of love the two of them together. And then the fourth date, damn, there are four dates out of the house this week, is Savannah. She picks Brandon, who is a hot commodity in the house. Mel is really into him, as well as Julia. The two of them, Savannah and Brandon, go to a jazz bar. I felt this date was forgettable, and I don't really feel anything between them other than maybe a physical attraction. Then Sheridan and Julia are back at the house. Julia is very honest to Sheridan that she's kind of torn between him and Brandon. And then, you know, Brandon gets kissed by everyone at the pre-rose ceremony cocktail party. And he ends up giving his rose to Savannah. And Julia's upset, but she, of course, gets her rose by Sheridan. And she thinks that, you know, Brandon and her are just completely kaput. But Brandon whispers to her something, saying that they can now have time to explore what's going on between them further, which leaves her very confused.
Ashley, we actually have a clip of this. You want to play it?
Yeah, roll it.
When Brandon chose Savannah, I thought, okay, got it. Duly noted. And then Brandon hugged me and said, like, you're still here and we can still figure this out. You just chose Savannah literally 2 minutes ago and you still want to figure things out with me? So we're back to square one.
To the best days of our lives and the worst nights of our lives, they're all part of life and we're still alive. Yeah.
In summation, the rose ceremony roses go as follows. Chris obviously gives it to Brie after their awkward but loving date. Trevor chooses Jamie and their drama seems to be subsided for the moment. Matt chooses Rudy and all of that craziness. Ryan chooses Natasha, which was probably one of the more shocking roses. Danny chooses Becca. We know nothing about them still. Brandon chooses Savannah. Gabe chooses Ruby. We also don't know much about those two. And then Sheridan chooses Julia, who he's hopelessly in love with, but she is not necessarily reciprocating the feelings.
That is the second week episode of the Bachelor Listen to Your Heart. Ashley, we did it last week. We'll do it this week. Your rating now on the whole entirety of the show, A to F. What are you giving it?
I mean, I'll give it a B. This week's a B. Last week was a B plus.
I'm dropping to a B minus. Now, I'm intrigued still. I will be tuning in. I will be excited to talk about it and share it. But I'm hoping next week we're just gripped. Like, we're ready for the next couple episodes.
Well, those are live performances, so you may be able to relate even less.
Oh, crap. Dang it. Well, hey, Ashley, we do have Natasha from this week's episode of Listen to Your Heart coming on the Almost Famous podcast here in just a second. Before she does, let's take a break. We're back with Natasha from Listen to Your Heart. Natasha, welcome to the Almost Famous podcast.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here, you guys. I'm a big fan of this podcast.
That's so sweet. Thank you, Natasha. So you're a pop singer from New York City, and you come into the episode today as a big splash. We saw a teaser of your entrance last week, so we knew that you were going to come in and call out Trevor for being a cheater. Can you tell us a little bit more about your friendship with his ex, Sierra, and what exactly she always alluded to him doing wrong in the relationship?
I mean, it wasn't like she was alluding really to anything. You know, as girlfriends, we, you know, you chat about things, and, you know, I was seeing her on Instagram, like, crying all the time or saying things. I'm like, girl, what happened? What's going on? She's like, he's been cheating on me. He's been lying to me. I've been deceived this whole time. I mean, they were dating 2.5 years, so it wasn't like a fling that didn't work out. This was a full-on relationship. They were living together. She was supporting him.
They were living together.
Emotionally, financially, she was supporting him. Like, she really helped his career. She helped push him for American Idol. Like, this was a real thing. This wasn't just like a, okay, we're dating and he's being silly, you know? And she's a woman she's a smart girl. She has a business, you know, she's not just some like silly girl who couldn't tell the difference. You know, he is just so good at what he does. He's just, and I could see it, you know, even on the show, on the first episode, I was like, he's just so good. You know, he's like a master manipulator, and he gets them right where he wants them. And it's just tough to see, man.
Observing his behavior, I am like, oh man, we are seeing a lot of Jed in him. He definitely comes across maybe too smooth. You know, he's that musician with a guitar who's got a great face, who could probably pick up a ton of girls. I mean, Katy Perry even talked about him being hot. And it seems as if he just comes across that way. You know, a lot of guys are really great guys, and they still come across too smooth, and you kind of need to, like, you're like, oh, where's your flaw? Where's your flaw, right? It's like, Tyler Cameron's a great example. So many people were like, okay, when are we going to see Tyler's flaw? And we haven't really seen it.
Never will.
So do you think that Trevor, you know, in this episode, goes up to Jamie and he's like, look, I did emotionally cheat, and it's because of you that he ended up having to tell her that so early on.
I mean, don't you think it's crazy that men have to be like coerced into actually telling the truth to the girl they're dating? Like, for me, that just sounds so crazy. If you're starting a relationship, aren't there like certain, I mean, there's a basis of how you want it to start, right? Integrity, respect, communication, honesty. These are all things that you look for, especially on a dating show. Like, we're here right to find our one. We're here to find the one. Like, why are we starting off things being like shady? Like, that for me just doesn't, you know, and this is not like had I not shown up on the show at all, this would have still come out. It's not like I'm the only one who knows the secret. It's all over the internet. It's all over everything. And this is not just a singular girl. It's not just my girlfriend who I care for deeply. There are tons of girls, and it's all over, you know, it's all online. So it would have come out anyway. And it's just something that, because I was there and because I knew it before Jamie knew it, basically, you know, I felt like it was my duty to really tell her the truth. And then with that information, she can do what she will with it. But it's like, if you know that someone you care for was so hurt by someone, like, wouldn't you want to prevent that from happening to the next girl? You know, we were all 21 at one point where we didn't maybe see things the way we do now. You know, there's so many red flags you're not able to see when you're younger. I'm sure I've done that plenty, you know, but at the age I think that we're at now, we're smarter, we're better, we're realizing like who is really here for us or who's here just for themselves. So, you know, I just felt like it was the right thing to do. I would have hated myself had I stayed quiet throughout the whole show and then later on been like, hey, so guess what? you know, there's this thing, maybe you should know. It's too, someone did that to me, I'd be like, why didn't you tell me sooner? This would have helped me in so many different ways, you know? I just feel like the person needs to know the truth, and then with that truth, they can make their decisions based on that. And I would completely support and respect whatever that decision would be.
My mom was saying, like, oh, she's 33. Like, you can tell her confidence.
Yeah. I mean, it comes with age, you know? Like, I think every time you go in a relationship or you go, I've had my heart broken so many times. I've been upset. I've been lied to. I've been cheated. There's just so many things you start to realize as you go on in your relationships where you're like, you know what? I'm not going to put up with this. And you're going to be held accountable for the shitty things you've done and said or have been. And, like, everyone's made mistakes. You know, I'm not saying like, how dare he's made this terrible mistake. What I don't like is not owning up to your mistakes and not trying to be better after those mistakes have been done. You know, that's what bothers me. Instead of like, I confront him and the first thing he says is, no, I didn't cheat. Or no. Okay. Maybe a little. Okay. Yeah. Well, I emotionally cheated. Well, I did. It's like, dude, I know what happened. You're like telling me as if I don't know what's up, you know? And I'm very like East Coast about that. It's like, if I say it, it's like, it's because I mean it. I'm not beating around the bush about stuff. It's like, come on, dude. Just own up to it. Be a man about it. And I can respect you for it. But the fact that he didn't is what I'm like, now I still just can't get with you because, I mean, mentally get with you because, you know, it's just not adding up. And that it's not cool.
What I did like is the fact that you called him out for it. You had the conversation. He went to have the conversation with Jamie. And then you didn't really bring it up again. Then you're like, okay, well, now it's like, your thing to deal with.
Yeah. Well, that's the point. Like, that's not my goal going into this. I came into the house really excited and a little nervous. You know, I'm the new girl in school. I don't know what to expect when I get there. I'm like, okay, everyone's had a couple days. They've all gotten to know each other. I'm like the last one to find out everything. I don't know what's been going on. A rose ceremony happened. I'm so out of the loop and everyone's getting to know each other. And I'm really behind and getting to know, you know, who these guys are and building connections and relationships. So that my focus was definitely not Trevor. It was kind of like, okay, let me do what's right. Let me do what I would want a girlfriend to do for me, you know, defend her and really make it obvious. Like, okay, this person needs to just be aware of what's going on in her relationship. And then all, you know, power to you. If that's, you decide to continue with it, I respect it. Everyone needs to go on their own journey and have their own path. And I'm not like, who am I to stop that? You know? As long as they have the info that they need, I can move on doing whatever it is I'm there for, which is to find someone and to make a connection. And that's just, it's my mission is totally different.
Natasha, did you know that Trevor or any of the other castmates were going to be there before you walked into the house?
You mean like specific people who I knew was going to be in the house?
Yeah, definitely.
No, I had no clue who anybody was. I walked in the front door very excited and very nervous. But I found out that day when we were all kind of chatting and they were talking about like who's not there and just the name, like something had come to me. I was like, no, this couldn't be. Like, I mean, I don't know that many Trevors who are like guitar player musicians in LA, you know, there's not like a trillion of them. And I, you know, just for fun, I was like, this isn't the American Idol, Trevor.
Wait, there might be a trillion of them.
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad Ben asked that, because I was a little curious. I was like, with just the fact that he was on a singing show and he lived in LA and his name was Trevor, you were able to deduct that he was the Trevor from American Idol. And I was like,
they could have been in the know. Another Trevor. And I've been like, okay. But like, what are the odds? It's just crazy to me. It's like, what are the odds that I know? I thought I was going to know like a potential musician there because obviously, you know, the music world in LA, New York is kind of small. And I was like, oh, maybe it could be someone that I've worked with before or someone, you know, I played with or a bandmate or something from some gig. But it was, yeah.
What was your thoughts then? I mean, if you didn't know and you start hearing his name and he walks through the door after the date and it's time for you to confront him, what were your thoughts in that moment?
I was just thinking about my girlfriend, really, you know, like what would I want her to feel? How would I feel like I would be doing her right? You know, and also just the fact that I'm like shocked that he's even there in the first place. Like, this isn't a dude that just made one mistake with one girlfriend. Like, this is a serial issue that he's been having. And clearly I didn't even know half of it until, you know, filming was over, until I found out all these other things. Oh my God.
Let us know the other things. It's been a serial issue. And has he physically cheated before? Does he always emotionally cheat? You got to let us in.
I mean, you don't take it from me. You just Google it. You know, there are tons of girls that are coming out.
We want it
right
from
now.
You, though, here, Natasha. We want it from you.
I mean, I can only say what I've been told and what people have been coming to me saying. It's more like there have been girls that he's been with for a few months, and then they feel like they're in a relationship with him. And then one girl was like, yeah, you know, he was being a little funny. He's like, yeah, I'm going on a business trip. I'll see you in a couple of days. And then she finds out he's on vacation with another girl, like in the middle of this relationship. So it's just crazy to me. Yeah, it's just very crazy to me how people can say, yeah, I'm ready to find the one, like a couple weeks later after pulling something like that. You know, it just doesn't sound, it's like, dude, come on.
Well, we watched you in this episode, and Ashley, I'm going to just ask this because for you. But what's it like kissing Ryan?
Ryan. I'm a fangirl about Ryan. That's why he says it like that.
Who doesn't? He's adorable. He's adorable. You know, he goes in hard on the tongue. I don't know what you guys thought because, you know, I don't know what kind of that was.
Not my style, but okay.
But you know, it's a flow. The good thing is that it was instant connection, I think, between the two of us. When we first got to talk and have some more intimate moments, and our first kiss was really nice. There was chemistry. I felt it. There was just something different about him between me and him than there was with a lot of the other guys in the house.
Were you talking up until the rose ceremony? Because we really only see you and Ryan connect during the pre-rose ceremony cocktail party, and then all of a sudden you're making out hardcore. Was there a build up to that?
Yeah. I'm not a crazy hoe, guys. Definitely. It was a little tough in the beginning, you know, because I get there and then a lot of, like, half the guys are terrified. They're like, oh God, what is this girl? Like, starting to talk, you know, to people about our beloved Trevor. And then it was hard to kind of start. So I was talking to a few boys, you know, I was trying to get to know everybody, and everyone was just so sweet and lovely, and it took me and Ryan like a little bit, but then we had a few moments by the fire pit. We started talking, and he just made me feel so at ease and so relaxed and very myself and comfortable. And you know, I loved his energy. You know, he was very relaxed, and there was like a quiet confidence about him that I was attracted to. And I felt like it was mutual.
Say his name without smiling. This is my mom's test.
Now you're asking me for crazy things.
Oh, see? She can't do it. She still smiles when she says the name Ryan, guys. In the scenes for the next episode, we see Ryan up on stage with a girl with a long brunette ponytail. Do you have a different color hair that you debut next week? Because I'm a little bit confused. Okay, so when you put your hair in a certain way, it gets darker. Okay. Her underbottom is darker, guys.
I have a lot of different highlights in my hair, and I might have used a little fun extension ponytail to make it more dramatic.
Okay, so it is you with him on stage.
But I am naturally, you know, brunette, so I am a Latina under there.
Okay. There you go. All right, well, Ben, do you have anything else for Natasha?
Natasha, after watching episode one and knowing that you're coming on episode two, what were your feelings like now as you watch this week?
It's nerve-wracking because you guys have to really pay attention to what's coming up next, because there's so many different dimensions to the show. I know you guys obviously know the ins and outs of how it's done, but I feel like this specific show is so unlike any other Bachelor show, because the contestants are like different levels of intense, you know, like the creativity I think that musicians have naturally just brings every emotion to like another level. You know, if we're sad, we're like down there. If we're happy, we're going crazy. It's like, you know, we're overly passionate in every direction of emotion. So I think it's just going to be crazy to see what happens next. So I've been kind of on that roller coaster as well of like, oh God, I don't know what's to come and how things are going to go down. Cause you know, when you live them, sometimes it's not always the way you see them. So I don't know. I'm excited to see how it goes. I'm happy with how things have been going so far. And let's hope it keeps going that way.
Okay. Well, Natasha, you've been awesome. Final question from me. Mm-hmm. Would you rather date a country singer or a pop singer?
You know, it's hard because country boys are real good boys. You know, they love their family. They can write a mean love song. You know, I love that about country boys. I was actually excited to have, you know, to have maybe like a lot of country boys going on in the house, but it seems like a lot of us are more pop focused. I'm a pop girl. So yeah, why, you know, country music's fun. I like to mix stuff up and be different, but you know, pop's where my heart's at.
And I need to ask you to tease a little bit more of what's to come on Listen to Your Heart. Are there any couples that seem so strong right now that we're going to see break apart? And are there any people in the house that are going to form a relationship like we never imagined?
Oh my goodness, that's a good question. To be honest, things happen that you would not expect at all. Things happen that I did not expect at all. I think things happened that the people that were in it didn't expect it to happen at all. It was literally one of the craziest things, seeing things go from like full 180s consistently. And that's what's so cool about this, is that you really don't know what's coming next until you watch, because it's crazy.
Sounds like The Bachelorette and Bachelor. Natasha, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks for answering our questions. We look forward to watching your journey along the way. Remember, everybody, Listen to Your Heart airs Monday nights on ABC. Natasha, thank you so much.
Bye. Ben, thank you.
Thank you. And Ben, congratulations on your engagement.
Oh, thank you.
Very exciting.
I'm pumped.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Ben, there's one thing I didn't talk to Natasha about that I was thinking about. Can you believe that house? Like,
no.
That bachelor house is unreal. It's like a Saudi Arabian prince house. It's insane.
Do you think there's any chance that this will become the bachelor mansion?
I kind of do. And it kind of makes me sad because I have so much nostalgia and memories watching the show back, watching, you know, the house. Yeah. But this house just seems so much more equipped for the show.
It looks a lot bigger, right?
So much bigger. The Bachelor Mansion, of course, is a nice big house, but, you know, with 30 or 24 people in it, plus...
It gets tight.
It's tight. And then that house looks like, oh yeah, you could sleep 30 people in there.
Yeah, that house looks huge. You're right, Ash. I look at that house and it is insane. I mean, I think anybody watching, it's not only beautiful. But it is well done and really good for the show. I mean, you got to think about it. They have a rose ceremony and then there's a whole separate room that they can all hang out in and wait for people to walk down the hallway. And
that it's awesome.
It's huge. So wild. Yeah, you're right. Now, I'm not going to be surprised if that becomes Bachelor Mansion number one, which would be sad. I don't know if I'd like that.
I wonder if it's somebody else's house, or I'm sure it's somebody else's house. That's not just like for shoots, because I'm wondering if Marshall would be kind of happy that he wouldn't have to move in and out so many times throughout the year.
I think Marshall's been taken care of over the years. I think he's I think he has a house up there for a reason. Also, that is not some opinions came out there thinking that was Chris Harrison's house that they're now in. That is not Chris Harrison's house. it's not his, like, we can promise that. A Bachelor Nation, it wouldn't be an off season without one of our favorite guests, and one of our favorite guests is always Kendall Long. Kendall, welcome back to the Almost Famous Podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me again.
Hello. Before we got you on the phone, we were talking about how you call your sister your soulmate, and then like you're just looking for a guy to be like a lover companion. Like, what would you call like the guy that you're looking for in your life?
I probably just like a side, like not a sidekick, but you know, like
a companion.
Companion. Well, someone that would kind of be my strengths when I feel weak.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I know I've heard you say this before, but not until I was talking to Ben about it was I thinking, yeah, you know what? I think my sister is my soulmate too.
Yeah, I feel like I think mainly with my sister and I were kind of like puzzle pieces. Mm-hmm. Because we've grown up super close our entire lives, we've learned to adapt to each other's ways, and like she's strong where I'm weak, and I'm weak, you know, so we kind of go back and forth like that. So that's kind of the best way I describe it with her.
Have you always felt this way? Like, I want to ask both of you. I mean, Ashley, I know this, yeah, like kind of like a realization, but Kendall, even when you've been in relationships in the past, like romantic relationships, have you still felt like your sister is that missing puzzle piece?
I mean, I think she's probably there as like my best friend when it comes to romantic relationship that fulfills like a whole different side mm-hmm. of what I'm looking for in somebody. But she's, I think in a way I feel like I don't feel pressured to have to find someone like that because I have such a strong family and I have such a strong like home base that I don't necessarily feel the pressure for that.
I get it. Question. Yeah, yeah, when I'm with Jared and Lauren together, then I'm like, I have my whole crew here. I got everything right here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, they have to get along with my sister. That's super important.
Oh, abso-frickin-lutely.
Yeah. Are you speaking of that? Are you dating at all these days? Is there anybody in your life?
No. Yeah. I mean, I feel like social distancing helps with not dating right now. But no, I'm not on any dating apps or anything. I feel like I'm just focusing on like me and my family and friends. And that doesn't include a guy right now. Not that I'm opposed to it. I guess it's just not my number one priority. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. Do you, I guess for the audience, how long has it been since you and Joe broke up?
I think it's been ever since June.
January.
I'm sorry. You're right. January.
I was going to say, that was the quickest year of my life. I was just like, whoa.
Zoomed right by. January. So like probably 4 to 5 months, I would say. And during one of the months, we were like living together while we were broken up. So it's been a significant amount of time, which is interesting. It's weird how fast time goes.
How's your heart and how often are you talking to Joe?
Joe and I talk kind of, not a lot, but we talk a couple times a week. Mm-hmm. I think it's difficult once you feel like you see that future with somebody. For me, and I'm sure for him in a lot of ways too, we thought we were going to get engaged and we were going to spend the rest of our lives together. So I feel like we still kind of depend on each other for a lot of emotional support in that way. And we're still friends. We didn't break up for any kind of reason besides wanting to be in different places in the future. So, there's still a lot of love there.
For any of our listeners out there who have been through a breakup and, you know, I don't know, now they sit in a time of isolation, they're not dating. Any advice for them?
I feel like there's ways to still find like human connection. And I find that the people that I have, that I'm in relationships already, like my friends and family, those relationships are growing so much stronger because of this. So I've been focusing more on that, making sure that people are okay in my life. And kind of like, I'm kind of more of like a, how do I describe it? Like, I feel like, not like a mom, but I feel like I like to cater to people and make sure they're okay. So like, for me, that helps a lot to have that and then getting that back from them. But dating-wise, it's like you're dating long distance right now.
Right.
Unless you're quarantined together. I mean, I've heard stories of people actually being quarantined with someone that they just met like for 2 weeks and they're dating. So
That's absolutely crazy. I mean, for me, quarantine has been interesting because Jessica and I didn't get to spend a lot of time together and now we do. But I do think there's been really creative ways that people have been connecting and talking and sharing their lives with each other. Kendall, you've always been an intentional person. You've always been curious and you've always found intrigue in others. What have you been up to during this time of isolation?
I've been focusing a lot of time with my family. My family's pretty close by in Oxnard, so I've been seeing them a lot. And I've been writing, doing a lot of writing. I'm doing this question book thing, and it's been really fun to do that. Working on the podcast. Pistachio's been absolutely crazy, my little dog. So whoa. I've been hanging out with him a lot. Reading. I've been reading so much. So I feel like I'm just taking time to like invest in things I'm passionate about. I'm cooking a lot of pasta.
I've been cooking so much pasta every other day, pasta dish. It's like the only thing I know how to make well. And yeah. Plus, I mean, it's the best food in the entire world. Kendall, I feel like you and I are kind of the same. I feel like we're kind of two people that don't really ever get bored. Have you felt bored?
No, but I think I owe that to my mom a lot. It used to put us alone in a crib with like one toy and we'd have to entertain ourselves. I think she made it a point to feel like you don't have to be overly stimulated by a bunch of stuff to find happiness, to find happiness with like simple things in life. So who I give credit to for that.
My mom always says people who get bored are boring.
Yeah. There's so much. You can like do art projects. I've painted a lot and I attempted a puzzle, but I don't know. I can't get into, I don't know why.
I think it's an amazing characteristic for you guys not to get bored. I as an only child, I feel like I was kind of gifted with the ability that I can never get bored. I have to entertain myself or I'm going to be the most like. And so here's a good rebuttal. Sometimes I get called boring, but if you're right that boring people get bored, well, I don't get bored. So
good. You're not boring.
That's my proof. Kendall, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. We're wishing the best. Before we go, you are our host this week on What's Cooking, Batch Nation.
What's Cooking, Batch Nation?
Kendall, you have a recipe that you want to tell our Almost Famous listeners all about.
Yes. So something that I've been making a lot is vegan like macaroni and cheese. So I've been experimenting a lot with pasta. So I make pasta with 2 cups 00 flour, 2 tablespoons of water.
00 flour is the key.
You have to use that for pasta. And so it makes kind of, I think it just makes it really, I don't know, a lot more. You can like help build the gluten in it a lot more.
The gluten, you don't get any sort of reaction.
I'm all about gluten.
No, it's oh yeah, but like the durum wheat, which is the 00, just makes you digest it so much easier, in my personal opinion.
I feel like I do that because I went to like this one Italian shop and they said you have to use the 00 flour, so that's what I always get whenever I make pasta. And I put 3 egg yolks in an egg. And then you create like a little nest of flour with a pinch of salt. And you put the eggs and water and olive oil inside the middle and you whisk it around and create a dough. And you knead that for like 5 or 6 minutes. And then I push it through like a pasta machine. Mm-hmm. And then you put it in water. And then when I make the vegan sauce, I do half a pumpkin. and then I do nutritional yeast, smoked paprika, salt, olive oil, and then an onion. And I put it in a food processor. And then it's vegan cheese. It actually tastes kind of like lobster bisque.
Really?
It's weird. Yeah. It's really good.
Where does the lobster... Wait, where does the lobster bisque come from? Where does that flavor come out?
Last time I made it, it tastes like that. I think it's because the olive oil mixed with pumpkin kind of tastes lobstery. It's really weird.
Interesting. My friend, it's like an orange cream sauce.
Yeah. How long does this cook take to make?
I would say the pasta's pretty quick. They just let it sit for 30 minutes. So it's like you want to prep it before, and then after 30 minutes of waiting, then you push it through. And then the sauce itself, you just have to, probably half a pumpkin, you probably have to bake it for like 45 minutes. And you just have to puree everything.
That's cool. Not bad. That's awesome.
Garlic. Don't forget garlic.
We won't. More garlic, the better. It's good to keep people at a social distance right now. Hey, Kendall, thanks again. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you again very soon. And we do truly wish you the best.
You guys too. And congratulations, by the way, on your engagement, Ben.
Thanks, Kendall. That's awesome. Thank you. Ashley, I've got to get going. My family tonight, I don't know what it's going to be, but they we drove up here, I'm not kidding you, nonstop to be with my dad for his birthday. And my parents then in return, because they hadn't been able to celebrate Jessica and I, they asked if tonight they could do us a date night. So I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm locked upstairs right now in a room. And I know my mom and dad are downstairs setting up the bottom floor. And also they are preparing to cook us dinner, to serve us, and to make us have a date night, and they want to.
They're your waiters and waitress.
Yes, 100. I guess I don't know yet. It's all surprise. But Jessica has to be in my room locked in, and I have to be upstairs, and we can't go downstairs until date night's ready. So I've got to get going.
That's adorable. Okay, have fun. I'm jealous. That is so cute.
I'm super pumped. It's really
great. I know I'm squealing, and I should probably stop.
I love it.
Well, this has been the Almost Famous Podcast.
It sure
has. I've been Ashley.
And I've been Ben. We'll talk later.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.